Gregory Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Art Griego's joined us. Art is a former commercial pilot. And Art, what about these two drunk pilots that got on a plane in Miami? It was a America West flight, and apparently they were both legally drunk.
Well, first of all, I don't want the public to overreact. It's not an unusual thing for a pilot, especially since 9/11, especially after all the attention that security has received after 9/11, to try to relax. You know very well that people get into their cars after having a beer or a glass of wine, and they drive around that way with their children and other people in the car with them. But the crucifixion of the American pilot and the crucifixion that's ongoing of the American security apparatus at our airports is indicative of what you were just talking about a few minutes ago in your program, Phil, and that is hysteria among passengers. And if you want to point to the single reason why we have got a security problem today, it's because of the passengers. It's got nothing to do with the other.
Well, I mean, you can say, yeah, it's passengers that are bringing illegal things onto airplanes. You could also say it's terrorists.
But it's also passengers that are constantly harping on the crew of the aircraft about their food, about their breakfast. Why did they miss lunch? When are we arriving? Why are we late? Where are we right now? Eventually, you're going to see a stress level build up among airline workers, and it is indicative, I think, of that these two guys, two pilots, as far as I know, very good pilots, wanted to have a couple of drinks and relax before they get on an aircraft.
Well, you don't accept that, do you?
I beg your pardon?
Do you accept pilots drinking before they fly?
Phil, let me tell you something. It's the pilots are getting crucified. It's only the pilots that people are leaning on.
Well, then why do you think that is? Because they're drinking.
I don't know why it is. I can't for the life of me figure it out, but the crucifixion of today's pilots is out of control. We didn't cause 9/11. Terrorists did. And what we have proposed constantly to the FAA, constantly, is that we have an acceptable blood alcohol limit for pilots the same way you have an acceptable blood alcohol limit for motorists, 0.08.
And so you want pilots to be able to have a pop before they get on the plane?
I'm saying to you, Phil, is there not an acceptable blood alcohol limit for motorists?
Well, there's an acceptable blood alcohol limit for motorists because they're not publicly transporting hundreds of people.
They've got kids in their car. They have family members in their car. They have friends in their car. Sometimes they are they're carpooling. Okay.
Well, what guy is having a couple of drinks in the morning before he carpools to work? I mean,
well, come on, Phil. How naive are you?
All right. So I suppose a guy, well, if the guy does, he's got a problem.
Look, pilots already do have a drink. I'm proposing that we make it legal.
Now, I want you to be clear with me. Are you telling me that pilots are regularly flying after having several cocktails?
Boy, now you're going to hold my feet to the fire. Is that?
Yeah, I want you to tell me right now. Are you saying that commercial pilots are drinking before they get aboard an aircraft?
I will tell you what I did, okay?
You go ahead.
It was not uncommon for me, and I flew commercially for 25 years, it was not uncommon for me to enjoy a light drink before I went on a flight. And
how far of a flight are we talking about?
We're talking about a hop. You could be a hop of San Francisco to L.A., Miami to New York.
And you'd have yourself a couple of belts.
Let me tell you something, Phil, and understand this and understand it clearly. You get on a plane, the first thing you can hear through the door of the cockpit is this low, kind of a low muttering. And when you open the cockpit door, it's everybody, all the passengers, at the same time, yelling, screaming, wanting this, wanting that, wanting to use the can, wanting to use the...
What has this got to do with you drinking? I mean, these are passengers who are demanding a certain level of service.
Well, wait a minute. What they have a right to demand is for me to get them from point A to point B. They don't have a right to scream and yell about their peanuts and their drinks and their food and their pillows and their blankets and whether their headrest goes back and whether it doesn't go back and can they get out of the emergency aisle and can they use the head and using that head when they got the... If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. You don't use the head when the drink cart is in service. You don't use the head when the meal cart is in service. And every time I say that, I'll open the door and look back. Sure enough, there's some guy trying to use the can. Even right after I said it, I opened the door, and I said to Charlie Swadsworth, who is a co-pilot that flew with me, I said, look at this. I made the announcement, ladies and gentlemen, please stay seated, especially while the carts are in service so our flight attendants can give you good service. And then I said, watch this, Charlie. I opened the door. Sure enough, there's two jackasses trying to go use the aft can. Okay? I think the time has come for passengers to take responsibility for some of the terrorism that's happened. And I'm trying to say...
Are you telling me that all of that stuff led you to take a couple of drinks?
Yes. And it leads other pilots to take drinks, too. Because it is an absolute, utter irritation and aggravation to any pilot trying to fly a plane safely. And if a pilot needs to calm himself by having a couple of pops, then I say, so be it. Motorists have acceptable alcohol blood level. Why not pilots?
All right, we're talking with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot who... And you made a statement, I'm not going to let you get away with, passengers are responsible for terrorism.
Well, I'm not saying the passengers conduct...
No. You made the statement. I'm gonna ask you about it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Two pilots on America West apparently were taken off of their planes at Miami International Airport yesterday because they were drunk.
What do you mean by drunk, too? I'd like to have a definition there.
I mean they were legally drunk.
All right, so they were staggering or what?
I don't know if they were staggering. I guess what they're saying is that they were...
Because when you say a man is drunk, what you're saying is the guy's got no control over his motor skills.
Well, the story says that they took the test show, they were legally drunk.
All right, legally drunk is different from being staggering, fall down, I can't pass a field sobriety test drunk. You understand that?
All right, so the guys were legally drunk. Their blood alcohol limit... Or their blood alcohol was above whatever the hell it was supposed to be. You're talking about a legal blood alcohol limit.
Yeah, I'm talking about legal blood alcohol. I'm saying give these guys the opportunity to have a couple of drinks. 9/11 has been more pressure on the nerves of pilots, and the only guys that are getting crucified are pilots, the security workers at the airport... And
well, let's talk about the security workers. How are they getting crucified?
Because everybody's blaming them. You got every passenger bringing every piece of luggage. They got carry-on bags. They've got steamer trunks. They've got huge suitcases. They've got every kind of garbage. Some of them got pet cages. They got cat cages. Some of them are bringing on bags of things that they bought, souvenirs, toys, etc., etc., etc. If you got these people to stop bringing so much crap on the plane and start leaving some of it at home or in their hotel room, we wouldn't have the security problems we're having, all right?
And well, you saw that it said 25% or something of these guns or fake guns got by. And
well, yeah, they're going to get by as long as you got some guy and his wife from South Bend, Indiana, bringing nothing but crap from their vacation on the plane. Now, what we're asking, and we're asking, I think, respectfully, is that passengers cease being the pigs that they can be, and start being the responsible passengers that...
Boy, you are endearing yourself, man, to the people that...
No, I'm asking that they do what they should do and endear themselves to me, the pilot. I'm the guy that's flying the plane.
No, and I'm saying right now, you're calling your passengers pigs, and they're bringing crap on board. Is that right?
You want to see some of the crap. Some guy was down in Tahiti and bought himself a back scratcher. He had a drink called a back scratcher. It's a wooden back scratcher that he got out of a drink, a cocktail. Now, this is the garbage that they're bringing with them.
And well, again, I'm saying this. You have a public relations problem here, pal. You got pilots that are drunk. You got security people that are not checking the bags properly. And
no, wait. You're saying that I got to make the passengers happy.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But I'm telling you, look, the airline industry almost went under after 9/11. And why? Because passengers bringing crap on the plane. They're bringing a back scratcher. They're bringing extra jock straps. I don't know what they're doing. Tennis rackets, golf clubs. The only people that need to be kept happy in the airline industry, Phil, are pilots. I'm a pilot. I don't need to keep them happy. And
why should we keep you guys happy, okay? The passengers pay.
You want to know why you should keep me happy?
The passengers are the ones that pay. They're the ones that come on board.
You want to know why you should keep me happy?
Yes.
Because if you don't keep me happy, guess what happens to the airplane? It doesn't fly anymore. It doesn't fly.
Are you saying you'll crash it?
No, I'm not saying I'll crash. I'm saying, in other words, that the pilot is the individual who stands between you and everlasting perdition. The pilot is the one that stands between you and St. Peter at the gates, then I would keep me happy. And if I had to look down the aisle and see 20 to 30% of the passengers in sombreros or wearing some kind of florid lei or wearing the Chinese hats that they wear, like they got it, they're running around in a rickshaw in Hong Kong, or I got to look down the aisle and I see them wearing Letterman's jackets or bandanas or scarves or one of those fruit hats that they get down there in South America, I swear to God, I would rather fly it into the side of a mountain than land it and have to see it again as I'm standing there. Because you have to understand something. So we have to stand there at the door and say, thank you, thank you. One sombrero and one fruit hat after the next. Thank you, yeah, thanks a lot. Jesus.
And all of this, you're telling me, Art, and I've known you for a few years, all of this you're telling me causes you and other pilots to want to take a drink.
Yes, and what I'm saying is, after 9/11, we got more pressure on us than ever before. We are asking that individuals give us the same freedom that motorists have, acceptable blood alcohol level.
0.08.
I would also ask passengers, if you don't want the security people at the airport to miss things as they check for guns and bombs and knives and brass knuckles and atomic bombs, then don't bring all of that crap that you pick up on your vacation and that you bring from home. And I'll tell you something else, too, if I could just say this. And I say this, Phil, with all due respect. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea at all of what a baby smells like after a six-hour flight? In other words, what it...
All right. Well, they're trying to change the diapers. You got changing rooms there in the can. And...
Yeah, well, okay. Thank you. We got them. Use them is all I ask.
All right, Art Griego, he's a professional, a retired commercial pilot who says that the drunk pilots and the lack of security is ultimately the responsibility of the passengers who distract, bring too much luggage, and otherwise make it a very nerve-wracking flight for the pilot, for the security people, and for the flight attendants. And if you want the pilots to be a little bit better at the job that they do, give them an acceptable blood alcohol rate. If you want the security workers to do a better job, then don't bring so much, as he put it, crap with you when you travel. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Art Griego, retired commercial pilot. We'll be back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The idea that pilots should be allowed to drink is the subject of our conversation here with Art Griego, and also the idea that it is passengers who ultimately cause terrorist attacks because they bring so much crap with them that the security people can't check the bags. Now, you made a comment that you should be allowed to have a drink before you fly. Is that right? And you're a retired pilot.
Phil, everybody needs certain things to function in their job. Mechanics need tools. Technicians need computers. Actors need a stage. Pilots need a drink, and I don't know how else to put it.
Pilots need a drink.
Yes, and I can tell you something. At 45,000 feet, when you got a flight attendant coming in and saying, Jesus, they won't sit down, they won't do this, they won't do that, and it's at that point, I'm at 45,000 feet, I've just hit autopilot. You tell me, a dry martini with onions and a salad bar, a little dirty, you telling me that's bad?
If I'm flying a commercial jet, if I've got I don't know how many people back there?
You're telling me that a dry martini is bad with a salad bar and dirty. And
I don't know what you mean by a salad bar.
A salad bar is with onions and with an olive, and dirty is with olive juice. What are you telling me that's bad, huh?
No, it sounds pretty refreshing, but if I'm flying a commercial jet...
Why are we being crucified? Pilots and security personnel are being nailed to a cross. We have had a crown of thorns shoved down on our heads, and we have been given vinegar to drink. Vinegar. And I say it's got to stop.
All right, 1-8, and the passengers have caused the terrorism.
They haven't caused it. It's just all the crap they bring on the plane. It makes it difficult.
Yeah, it makes it difficult to look for the bombs. Here is Winifred.
Company
Winifred.
That he flew for stops his pension if they recognize his voice.
Winifred, hold on, dear. You're just on the air. Say that again.
I hope the company that he formerly flew for withholds his pension because... Any pilot that flies
under
the influence of alcohol is an absolute disgrace to the aviation industry.
Everybody who drives a car is allowed to have a couple of drinks.
And not everybody drinks.
But some people do, and a pilot needs to numb a little bit before he walks through the cabin and listens to, with all due respect, Winifred.
I don't know what type of airline you were flying for, but I've never been on a flight, you know, where people were behaving that badly.
Oh, okay.
Then your flight attendants are obviously not doing their job.
Were you flying the plane?
No, I'm not flying the plane.
Then you don't know the effect it has on me. When
obviously have psychological problems.
Wait. You're telling me you've never seen somebody try to use the can while they had the drink cart or the fruit cart in the aisle?
Well, perhaps it
becomes now the truth comes
out. Have you ever had a problem with your bladder?
Maybe the truth comes out now, Winifred. And when I tell them to sit down, and then they purposefully disobey me and get up to use the toilet.
Oh, so we've got to obey you all the time.
Yes, I happen to... Have you heard of federal...
So we pay your salary, we pay for our ticket, and we've not to move because the pilot says you can't go to the toilet.
No, that's true. When I put on the fastened seatbelt, Winifred, that means you are to return to your seat and fasten your seatbelt. You know that. You've flown enough.
Yes, I know that.
All right. So if you don't do that, Winifred, then guess what? You're in trouble with me. And that's a federal violation. Now, I realize you're older...
That's fine, but obviously it's a federal violation also if you're driving under, flying under the influence.
Federal law mandates... You obey me. I don't have to obey you.
Of course, but only if you're sober.
And also, Winifred, you being older, you know that you may be a little bit incontinent. Try draining that bladder before you go. Yeah, try draining the bladder before you get on the plane.
No, it has nothing to do with incontinence, because people can pick up viruses.
I bet you're one of those passengers that just has to bring that ukulele back from Hawaii, aren't you? And because
goods. Traveled the world, I have no need for all of the junk from China.
All the junk from China?
Exactly.
Oh, what a racist.
All right, listen, thank you very much. Sue, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'm a pharmacist, and I deal with the public all the time as well. And believe me, I have some doozy customers. But I certainly would not deal with my pressure on the job by popping a few pills while I'm at work, dipping in the candy jar, nor going to work impaired by alcohol.
Well, Sue, the difference between your job and mine is that if you mess up on the job, you don't kill 300 people.
We could kill one or two people.
It's not the same thing.
Well, what's
if
the
I
difference
mess up on the
if
job,
I kill...
I need to have calm. I need to have it calm, cool, and smoothed out. I need everybody
to
shut up and sit down. That's all I'm asking.
And I'd like to say to some of my customers when I'm at work, shut up and sit down. When I have a line of five people,
and
I've got somebody butting the line saying, can you ring up my pantyhose? But I can't.
If you are distracted by people in line at your job, 300 people aren't burned alive. If I'm distracted on my job, 300 people go into a cornfield.
So you're...
And I think there's a little bit of a difference there, Sue.
But you're trying to tell me that it's okay if I kill one person because I'm distracted on my job versus you killing 300. One life is equivalent to me as 300 lives.
Well, that's fine. But I think that 300 lives is more important than whoever you kill with your, you gave them too much Benadryl or whatever it is.
Oh, I don't think so. There's a lot more deaths
with
pharmacists being interrupted constantly.
Half of the stuff that you guys push into a bottle is aspirin anyway. I mean, do we even know that...
Well, let's not impugn what this woman does for a living.
Well, I don't know what she's talking about me.
You're missing my point, though.
Yeah, you've heard the name Kevorkian.
Well, exactly,
some of those people are asking for it.
See, that's outrageous.
Man.
That's really outrageous. I hope your pharmacist is not listening on the phone
now. No, ma'am, what I'm saying is...
What do you mean some of those people are asking for it?
Mr. Andrew, you find it funny, and this lady may find it funny... But I bet you Jack Kevorkian got into the business that he got into because he was so sick and tired of listening to them, he couldn't stand it any longer.
Well, that's Jack Kevorkian, but I'm talking about this issue. Pharmacy is very stressful. If you've ever stood in line at a pharmacy and you've heard the phone ring.
And you've never slipped a couple of something into a bottle because you couldn't take it any longer.
No.
What are you
accusing
her
of? You go into the back room, you take a deep breath, and you count to 10. You don't sit there and have a couple cocktails in the bathroom.
You could hurt somebody, though, couldn't you, by slipping something into the bottle that shouldn't be there. They take one, and guess what? They're done.
Why would I do that?
First of all, she'd go to jail, okay?
How are they going to put you in jail?
Because they'll trace the medicine back to the bottle.
And do you know? And it would be medical negligence.
Oh, well, let me tell you this.
Involuntary manslaughter. If you bring your plane down, you're dead. You're not. You know, you're not going to jail.
Yeah,
you're going to be dead.
I'm not going to do that on purpose. But you would. I don't have time to count to 10, Sue. I'm flying a jet. I'm going to tell you one thing. You're welcome on my flight anytime. I wish you'd hand out some long prescriptions to some of the passengers I fly around.
I'm telling you.
Because some of them are begging for it. They are asking for it.
And you don't think my customers are begging for it? It's crazy.
Well, what are you guys talking about? Killing people because they won't sit down in their seats or they...
I'm not going to kill anyone. And the thing is why would I want to jeopardize my career by filling prescriptions while I'm impaired?
And you would jeopardize your career, Art, which, by the way, you're retired. Do I dare ask?
Don't even go there, okay?
All right, but are you retired?
Yes, I am. And I flew for 30 years, and I drank before a few of those flights, and I never got popped. And a lot of guys do.
Well, you never got popped because nobody ever checked on you.
And that other thing about airport security, so here comes that last busy broad that last lady that I was talking to, and she's packing through the ukuleles, the macadamia nuts. She's bringing in all kinds of crap she found on the beach. And it is distracting a security guard from the nuclear bomb that some guy with a towel on his head is bringing in just behind her. So that's what I'm talking about.
The nuclear bomb.
That's right.
All right, listen.
By the way, Sue, what's the going rate for roofies? But anyway...
Yeah, that's real funny, man. That's real great. Impugn everybody else's profession because you happen to be having a hard time these days there in the airline industry.
Phil, it is a tough industry to compete in these days. And I'm telling people, if you want to get from point A to point B, and you want to do it in the air, and not by way of ambulance or a body parts van, then I would suggest that you allow me to have a beer or two before I fly.
Well, I won't be flying with you anytime soon, man.
So you're not going to have lunch with me in Santa Barbara next week? You said you would.
Well, okay. Art Griego. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
With me is Art Griego, retired pilot. And why are we having such problems in the air? Because pilots need to have a couple of drinks. The passengers are the reason why there's terrorism. Jennifer, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Which is not what I said.
Yes, that is what you said, sir.
I wanted to have a conversation with you, actually, because I don't want to get in a power struggle with this
we need to have a three-way conversation here. So if whatever you direct to me, you need to direct to the guest.
I don't know why she doesn't want to talk to me. I'm the guest.
I know you're the guest.
Okay, what's the guest's name?
You want to talk to me, ma'am? Okay, you can ask me what my name is. Don't talk about me like I'm not here, okay?
First of all, I'm a school teacher, and I have to say that there's you're commenting about the airline profession being stressful.
My wife used
to
talk about me like I wasn't there.
All right, I know about your wife, and I know you have a broken marriage. Go ahead.
Well.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you. I would have to say that there's a great number of jobs that include a heavy amount of stress, with teaching being one of them.
Are you guys trying to compare teaching and being a pharmacist and somebody emptying the quarters out of the merry-go-round? That's the same. That's the same as me being a pilot?
Oh,
you know how the guys with the box cutters got on board because the idiot ahead of him was coming back from Grand Cayman, bringing home a statue of a rain god in a grass skirt, and the next thing you know, we got ourselves a problem.
What do you mean the guy ahead of him?
The guy, those guys are the box cutters got on those planes because there's some guy ahead of him that security's got to check who's got a lei and he's got a walking stick and he has a robe that he got from Epcot. That's what I'm talking about. No wonder the guy misses all the nuclear weapons, whatever the hell these ragheads are bringing on there. And forgive my language because my wife is Arabian, but I just, you know, her in-laws, I have Palestinian in-laws and they drive me out of my mind. That's why I'm nervous more than anything else.
I understand that. We can dispense with the raghead thing. Here is Robin on the Phil Hendry Show. Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say I can't believe that you're even talking like this. I mean, everybody, no matter what kind of job they do, has stress in their life. But that doesn't...
I'll say to you what I've said to 58 different callers. It's not the same as flying an airplane.
You know, okay? whether you fly an airplane or
do
any kind of... Hey... I work for a prosecutor's office.
Oh, yeah,
and you know
that's
what? I'm glad I do because we prosecute people like you.
You know,
and thank God that there's people. No, you talk. You let me finish.
I don't doubt you've killed a lot of people on your job.
Oh, that's real nice.
Well.
Go ahead, Robin. You're go ahead.
Okay, well, all I have to say is everybody has stress in their job, in their life. It doesn't matter what. Everybody has stress. Everybody has problems.
Yeah,
I can have a stress.
What stress does a gardener have? I'm just curious. What stress does the guy who empties the quarters out of the merry-go-round have?
He's got bills to pay. That's his job. He's got bills. Maybe he doesn't make enough money.
What if he's single?
But all I'm saying, it doesn't matter if you're single. Everybody has bills. Everybody has commitments. Everybody has a life.
It's not necessarily stress.
That doesn't give you the right to have a couple beers and endanger people's lives any more than it gives me a right to go and get drunk on my way home from work, get behind the wheel of my car, and take somebody else's life into my own hands.
Well, the point
anymore
is that the point is, it's legal to drive under .08, but it's not legal for a pilot to fly under .08. It's
well,
not
you know,
fair.
My car is a little smaller than your airplane.
You know, and I'll tell you something, Robin. If I mess up, what stress does a meter maid have?
I don't know.
A meter maid that lives with her parents, what stress
does she
have?
Do you know what they say about men who buy big cars? I think maybe you're in your profession because you drive a big airplane and you have small equipment. Maybe that is your stress. Maybe that is your problem.
What did they say, Robin? Where did they say that? I've never heard that.
I'm just saying.
What
are you saying?
I think you sound like an insecure person. Sexual problems or something, and you're taking it out on the rest of the world.
Didn't take long with you, Robin, to get sex in the conversation, did it?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I think you have a lot of
problems. Regular profession. You know, when I'm flying an aircraft and I turn around and I'm going to look back there and I'm going to see there's Robin with her girlfriend coming back from Grand Cayman, and you're wearing one of those straw cane cutter. Oh, look at she hung up on me. God. I just as soon take that thing and fly it right into the fat part of Cuba.
Jesus.